friends. I hope you recognize that theme song. If you do, you know what time it is. And I'm not talking about by the clock. I'm talking about this radio broadcast. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. And we do invite you to stay tuned as we get ready to go to the Word of God to study what the Scriptures teach us and tell us that we need to know. I feel like today that I'm in a classroom right now. I'm not just going to be the teacher. I'm going to be the listener as I read from the Holy Scripture in just a few moments, because my soul thrives on that can only feed it, and that's the Word of God. Hallelujah. So let's gather together around the Word of God. Everyone probably that's a Christian listening to this broadcast, if you are a Christian, I pray that you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and that you have a pastor that is committed to do what the Bible said that he's called to do or she's called to do, whoever your teacher, preacher is today. Amen. Jeremiah in the Old Testament said that I will give you pastors after my own heart, Jeremiah 3:15, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Praise God. Well, folks, we want to do that work today. I introduced myself as a pastor evangelist because we're also reaching to those that do not know Christ today. And in that respect, we will ask right now, if you don't know the Lord, we invite you to this Bible study. We want you to come along with us. We don't want to leave you out. We don't want you to feel like, well, this is just for Christians. I'm not a Christian. It will not pertain to me. Oh, friend of mine, we as Christians understand better than anyone just how much this teaching of the gospel, preaching of the gospel, can mean to you today. So please be our special guest. No one can grab you where you are. I can't reach through this radio and grab you by the wrist and pull you to an altar. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a disclaimer here. The Holy Spirit can get a hold of you, and I pray that He does. And I pray that you will appreciate it when He does. Hallelujah. Oh my, God is so good today. I call the Holy Ghost the Hound of Heaven, not out of disrespect in any sense of the word, but I'm so glad that God wouldn't give up on me. I'm glad that He hounded me. I'm glad that in every moment when I wasn't listening to hard rock or drinking hard liquor, I am so very glad that in those times of silence and quietness, that the Holy Spirit came and wooed me and pulled me and convicted me of my sin and convinced me of my need for a Savior, so that I could come to know Jesus. Oh, praise God. Don't turn that dial today. And Christians, if you need encouragement, enlightenment, instruction in righteousness, let's get in God's Word today. We have a tremendous subject here today. In it to win it. Winning the race and receiving the crown. Our teaching is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. For time's sake, we're going to read verse 24 and 25 today and move right into the next biblical principle that God wants us to bring forward. Before we do that, real quickly, if you would like to come to our website, please type in THCOG. That will take you to the Holy Church of God on your web browser. And right here in Tampa, Florida, where I, Robert Venable, have been the senior pastor for now working into our 40th year for the Lord here. We'd be so grateful to have you to come. There are sermons, over 1,300 that span those 40 years that are downloadable. If you see a sermon topic you would like to hear that sermon preached and the word expounded on that subject, there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus in this 30-minute format that are very, very user-friendly. There is podcast that you can download to an MP3 player and everything is free. There is no charge. There's inspirational music. There is Bible helps and links and Facebook and Twitter and everything is user-friendly and meant for one purpose, and that is to be a blessing to those who come. So we'd love to have you come and visit with us. Now, having said that, let's read Paul's writings to the church at Corinth and to us right here in the 21st century. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" 1 Corinthians 9:24. "But one receiveth the prize. So run that you might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now they do it. Every other athlete in every other sports contest, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. What do? They master themselves. I'm going to tell you something. Someone training for a heavyweight fight is probably not eating pork chops and collard greens and cornbread and butter today. Amen. But they are mastering themselves. Someone that's getting ready to run in the Olympics is probably not sitting in an easy chair with a bunch of potato chips and dip right now, instead of out running, getting their body ready, because they're so devoted to winning this race, they automatically are developing the disciplines necessary. And it's the devotion that is bringing the discipline. They are doing it. They are doing it. And they're doing it for a corruptible crown. That means whatever reward they get from this, it will pass away. Because it, as well as this body as we know it now, and this world as we know it now, is corruptible. It is passing away. You know, that's why the scripture said, "Love not the world." We're not talking about the earth. God made the earth, and He made it wonderful, and He made it for man. The heavens are the Lord's, the scripture declares, but the earth He hath made for man. We're talking about the system that Satan has brought into this fallen world that has simply an immediate flesh-gratifying effect. Nothing of eternity, nothing of where the soul is going to live forever is ever brought to light in this darkened world system. Ah, but the Word of God, David said, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. And it illuminates where we are and where God wants to take us today and what God wants to show us today. And Paul said, we're different from the world about us. They do develop such devotion to what they, particularly in this area of running a race, they run to get the prize. And what they receive is corruptible. And they do it for a corruptible crown. But we do it for a higher reason, for an incorruptible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we want to talk about this incentive, these crowns mentioned in Scripture. And the first crown we talked about last week was the crown of life. Out of James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love Him." Just for review very quickly, don't ever forget what awaits us. What the prize is, hallelujah. When this life is over, the crown of life signifies an eternal existence and an eternal place with eternal persons. No more death, nor sickness, nor heartaches. That is gone forever and forever. Praise God. Eternal life, everlasting life, is the first crown that is mentioned here in Scripture. If I would put an order to the crowns that are mentioned here in Scripture for the believer, the very first top shelf crown is the crown of life. But it doesn't stop with the crown of life. It continues to the crown of righteousness. And this is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. And here's what Timothy says. He said, but watch thou, or here's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's telling Timothy, I'm ready to receive my crown. I'm ready to receive my reward. Oh, but I want you to take everything you've learned and run with it for the glory of God. Amen. Verse 7, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, finished that race course that was set for him. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. There's something about being truly devoted to follow Jesus Christ and looking and longing for his soon coming that verify that devotion in our heart. I can't wait to see Jesus. Used to be a song that we came on the air with when we were on radio here in Tampa. 30 years ago or better, we used to come on the air with a song that said, I can't wait to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we love his appearing. It's appropriately called the crown of righteousness because it will be recompense for our service to the Lord and for the Lord. See, friend, God's smile of approval will outshine the jewels and gold of the heavenly city. I want to say that again. God's smile of approval will outshine to me, amen, and I believe to every true child of God. It'll be more important to us to see him in his smile of acceptance and approval than anything the holy city can show us. And by the way, the holy city ain't no slouch. What a city that is. Gates of solid pearl, foundations of precious jewels, and the streets paved with perfect gold. But just to hear him say something so significant to those who love him will outshine the grandeur and the majesty of this great holy city. Amen. And it's found in Matthew 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God never, ever, ever forgets anything that we do for him and in his name and to further his kingdom. That's why the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing. We will reap the reward if we faint not. There is a crown of righteousness for serving the Lord. Amen. And Paul said, I've served him, I've kept the faith, and I know there's a crown laid up for me. Praise God. People think I'm going to be defeated here today. When they take my life from me as a martyr, this is what he was saying just before he was martyred, when he was killed, beheaded for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And guess what? This couldn't even be happening unless I had finished my course. And I've finished. I have run with patience the race that was set before me. And I've finished my course and kept the faith. And there's a crown laid up for me. It's called a crown of righteousness. Righteousness is a word that can become complicated if we make it complicated, but in its simplest terms, it means right, wise with God, doing those things that please him, that are right in his sight. Praise God. And Paul said, you know something? I'm saved because of positional righteousness. Amen? It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but I have served the Lord with my whole heart and life, and there is a personal righteousness. It's pleasing the Lord. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm ready. He said previous to that to be offered up. And that word offered up would take us in a Bible study that we had time to just run out all of these scriptures. It would take us back to the drink offering in the Old Covenant, where a drink offering was poured out to the last drop. Every bit of it poured out before the Lord. And Paul said, my life has been like a drink offering being poured out. And now, at the end of my life, I am being poured out to the last drop. This devotion brought him the discipline that he could be able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In the previous scripture, he said, I do not fight as one that beateth the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. Praise God, lest at any time after preaching to others, I myself become a castaway. You know, anybody, a preacher is no exception. A prophet is an evangelist, an apostle is no exception. A Sunday school teacher, a choir member, a music leader, a youth minister, there are no exceptions. Everyone can become discouraged. Everyone can get to the place in our Christian walk and our Christian service to where we get weary of well-doing. And if we don't keep our eyes on the prize, we can be turned out of the race. We cannot finish our course. And that means fulfill the purpose and the calling that God has for you and for me. Listen, every one of us has some specific purpose that God has called us to, without exception. God has called every one of us to follow Christ. God has called every one of us to pray and to intercede. God has called every one of us to bear witness to His truth. And we want to fulfill the calling. Paul put it this way. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. Praise God. Amen. Listen very, very carefully today. Discouragement, distraction will get us out of the race. It'll put us on the sidelines instead of on the race course where we are all called to be. And friend, I believe if every Christian, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we're in this great marvelous kingdom of light, then what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial, or Christ with the devil himself? Praise God. I believe there's a clarion call to all of God's people to come out from among them. That doesn't mean self-righteous non-affiliation with people that desperately need our witness and our love and our testimony. It does mean that we live by a different set of values. We march to a different drummer because we have a different master. We're no longer the servants of sin and self or Satan. We're the servants of the Most High God. We are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there's a crown of life awaiting us, eternal life. And there's a crown of righteousness for simply being faithful to serve the Lord. Praise God. I want to read more about that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 through 11. It said, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from the Lord. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. See, you're not saved by works, but these are things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Praise God. Amen. You know, I love the scriptures when it tells us what it really means to God and to Christ personally when we minister to the saints. The scripture said, oh, by the way, when we say saints, it kind of causes some of us to cringe, and we all know some Christians who don't seem very saintly. But a saint is not just someone who is sinlessly perfect, else there would be no saints, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. And the Bible said if we as Christians say we have no sin at all in 1 John, we're not being honest, we're liars and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, amen, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from unrighteousness. I like a little boy's definition of saint in his limited understanding, but maybe even a pure understanding. They were in a great church with beautiful stained glass windows, sitting in the seat by his daddy one morning, and scriptures like this that spoke of Christians as saints was being read. And he looked at his dad, and said, "Daddy, are we saints?" He said, "Well, if we live for Jesus, if we let His light shine to those around us, that they'll see our good works and glorify our Father, they can see Christ in us, then yes, we are called saints in the Scripture." And when he got home, the dad asked him, said, "Well, son, do you understand?" Because in that great church with that wonderful stained glass, that morning sun on Sunday morning was brilliantly shining through those wonderful, wonderful stained glass windows with Jesus on them, and Joseph and many of the Old Testament patriarchs, and one represented Moses. And he said, "Son, do you understand a little better what it means when you hear the word saint?" And he said, "Yes, Daddy, I do. It's someone that the light shines through." Praise God. Now, I want you to know something today. Amen. That when we minister to God's people, when we minister to one another, when we show the love of God to one another and minister to one another, we are someone that the light is shining through. Praise God. And it pleases the Lord. You know, the unity in the body is so important. The Old Testament spoke of unity among brethren, and it said how good and pleasant is it when the brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil, that horn of oil that is poured over Aaron's head and drips from his body. Ran down his beard and drips from his garment. Praise God. Amen. It said, and there God said, under those circumstances will I command the blessing. Hallelujah. God blesses us when we love one another and we minister to one another in love. And it becomes a witness and a testimony to the world. And it pleases God. God, how good and pleasant to who? Not only to us, but when God sees that, it pleases Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. It blesses Him, and He blesses us to be a blessing to others. You know, He said in the New Testament, speaking of nations, and the separation of the sheep from the goats. And he said, on one hand, he will put the sheep, on the other, the goats. And he said, you saw me naked, you didn't clothe me. You saw me in prison, you didn't visit me. You saw me sick, and you didn't minister to me. And they said, Lord, when did we ever not see you and not minister to you? When we see you in those conditions and fail to respond, he said, insomuch that you did not do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Maybe we need to redefine what Christianity is really all about. Amen. What serving God is really all about. Because he said there's others. On his right hand, he said to them, I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick, you came to me. And they said the same thing in their astonishment. Lord, when did we see you in that condition? And how did we do this directly to you? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. Ah, friend, the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to initially, but to minister. So what can we give to Jesus? How can we serve him? By loving one another. By this, Jesus taught, shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one to another. Not just love in the heart for one another, but demonstrate it by the way we minister to one another. Praise God. What a witness and testimony that is. If you want to be right with God, if you want the crown of righteousness, we need to follow Jesus' example. It's just that simple. The scripture said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, amen, that be ye followers, which literally means imitators. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as he walked. Oh, friend, when God sees that, he sees something of himself and of his Son in you and me. The whole Sermon on the Mount is talking about selflessness more than anything else, and righteousness that comes because we're not selfish, self-centered people anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I want this crown. I want to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. You know, when the first love is present in our hearts, we have a strong desire to please God, to incur his good favor, to express love by faithfulness and obedience to him. And you can't really do that without loving your fellow man, without loving one another. Praise God. So this is a renewed desire to please God will motivate us to live and to serve him with enthusiasm. We should run full out for this crown called the crown of righteousness. Oh, I want to please my master today. I really want, when he looks at my life, to see something of himself and therefore something of his Son in me. Don't think I'm comparing myself to Jesus and saying in any sense that I have reached that grand stature of his fullness. I haven't. I fall short. But I want to be more like him. And God wants me to be more like him. Friend of mine, if you're not a Christian today, you're listening to this broadcast and say, I know some people who go to church and they're Christian. Believe me, they're not saints. Well, they may not be in the sense of it, of sinless perfection. But believe me, you can become one of those people that are called saints in the New Testament. Because when you receive Christ as your Savior and you begin to follow Jesus, you are someone that the light can now shine through. That's why the Bible said that we are the light of the world, a city set upon a hill which cannot be hid. And it said that men will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, and recognize that God is definitely involved in this fallen world, in the lives and hearts of those who will receive his Son as their Savior. Praise God. And that's bringing us to the end of this broadcast today. Amen. And this is this time within the broadcast when we invite you to come to know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, to join us who are already running the race that is set before us. And I want to encourage you right now to open your heart to the Lord, to get involved with us in running, that we might have everlasting life when this life is over, everlasting glory when we receive the crown of righteousness. Christian, take courage. If you've been sidelined, get back on the course and run with us. Jesus is coming soon. Come back next week, will you? Let's talk about Jesus. Oh, nothing but the love.